A man who fought racial injustice with lessons he learned from the segregated South. A nurse who traveled the globe to heal not just bodies but hearts and minds. A Bloomington Normal power couple who worked inside and outside government. All are being honored for their decades of dedication to make life better in McLean County and beyond. GLT's Eric Stock introduces us to this year's McLean County History Makers.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a couple who has done more for Bloomington Normal than Rich and Judy Buchanan. He is a mayor, liquor commissioner, and longtime public servant. She is a teacher, advocate, and caregiver. Rich Buchanan served 6 years on the Bloomington City Council, close to four decades on the City Liquor Commission, and later on the McLean County Board. But he figures the crown jewel of his political career was his two terms as Bloomington mayor from 1977 to 1985.
But I just loved being mayor. I just, because I think I was well received. People didn't beat up on me too much.
If there was tension at the time, it was between Bloomington and Normal, two fast-growing cities that at the time had competing interests.
There was a lot of competition, see who could give away the most inducements to entice a good industry, a good business.
Buchanan believes his friendship with then-Normal Mayor Richard Godfrey helped thaw the ice and see how working together was better for both.
This is one community, and don't go trying to torpedo if the town of Normal lands a great employer. Join them, because the Bloomingtonians are going to be working there, too.
Another lengthy contribution is Rich Buchanan's work on the city's liquor commission.
I loved going in the bars. I'd come home at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning after watching the bars close.
Oh, but he was a teetotaler.
You don't have to drink to enjoy things.
Buchanan says he visited every liquor establishment in the city to get to know the owners and make sure they were playing by the rules. He wanted to build trust.
And it showed off, and I think I left a legacy. Be open and straightforward with the people that you're impacting as far as the license holders.
Buchanan says he saw enough about the tavern biz to realize he'd never want to own a bar. He says only twice did he ever have an owner's license revoked. Now in retirement, Buchanan says what he misses most is campaigning. That's why, after being out of elected office for years, he ran for McLean County Board.
If you have Judy Buchanan as your campaign manager, you're going to win.
Judy Buchanan ran many more political campaigns than just those for her husband. She says she learned something from every campaign she ran, win or lose.
I might say tongue-in-cheek, I didn't usually lose, which was good. But I give the credit to the candidate. They're the one that's putting themselves out there.
Those who benefited from Judy Buchanan's campaign expertise included Governor Jim Thompson, Congressman Tom Ewing, Dan Rutherford when he was a state senator and state treasurer, and President George H.W. Bush, whom she introduced when he campaigned in Bloomington Normal. Judy Buchanan got a taste for politics early in life, growing up on the south side of Chicago, where her father worked for the city and became friends with Mayor Richard J. Daley. In those years, Judy says she also developed her passion to help others. In high school, she read a book called The Snake Pit, which depicted deplorable conditions at a mental institution.
I remember speaking with my dad about how horrible that was, and that these are people. They're sick. They're not weird. They're not criminals. They're not dangerous. They're sick. And that began a lifelong, to this day, sense of advocacy for people, particularly who have behavioral health issues.
Buchanan says that area of service became especially challenging when the state began closing mental hospitals with a promise to pay for local programs to reintegrate people with mental illness into the community.
However, the money, even though they said it would follow, it did not follow those patients. And that really stepped up my advocacy, because we were sending people back to our communities who were then becoming homeless, becoming street people, becoming dangerous, becoming difficult to handle in their homes.
Buchanan spent years lobbying on mental health issues. She successfully led an effort to override the governor's veto of funding for Alzheimer's disease centers. More recently, Buchanan has been a vocal advocate for McLean County efforts to boost mental health service. She's spoken to dozens of organizations through her role on the County Board of Health. She says she believes the jail expansion and 24-hour mental health triage could become a model for other communities.
I give them a great deal of credit for the county to step up and take a lead role, putting this out on the horizon and putting it out on the public stage, not saying we're going to do it, we have all the answers, but this is a serious issue and we all have to come together and look at it.
Judy Buchanan has also taken her role as an advocate for the disadvantaged to the Bloomington Normal public transit system, now known as Connect Transit. She plans to leave the board this summer after 11 years with the agency, re-energized and more visible.
When we rebranded and put the buses out there with the blue and the green and started promoting that, a number of people said, oh man, I didn't know we had a bus system.
Buchanan says she has tried to lead by example in every area she has worked.
We have to have the political will, and that's not always easy to come by for a lot of people. But I'm hoping that maybe by stepping out and raising the awareness and helping work toward resolution of problems that people know are out there, that maybe that will encourage others to join that effort.
After a lifetime spent helping the public and the community, Judy Buchanan has now taken on the role of caregiver for her husband, Rich, who has Alzheimer's disease. She's deeply familiar with it. Judy lost her mom to Alzheimer's at a young age and served as the state lobbyist for the Illinois Alzheimer's Association.
I bring perhaps a bit more understanding, but one of the things that strikes me and I get reminded of particularly by my adult children is all the good advice I used to give other caregivers I don't take myself. Take care of yourself, Mom.
Judy says she wasn't surprised by Rich's diagnosis, saying she's noticed his short-term memory loss and erratic decision-making. It wasn't long after that they had the conversation about Rich giving up his seat on the county board.
We talked to him about and shared with him some of the people on the board who I had talked to who were concerned. And we said, you know, this may be the time to retire from public service. You've got that record. You don't want to be retiring when someone puts their hand on your shoulder and says, Rich, it's probably time to go.
Rich retired from political life a second time in 2017.
I would not be able to be proud of my county board service given my abilities and some lack of abilities with this disease. So, I'm happy.
And there was the difficult conversation Rich's doctor had about no longer being able to drive.
Rich was about to kind of differ with her a little bit and argue it. And she said, Rich, do you want me to lose my license? What do you mean? She said, if I don't tell you that you can't drive and you drive, I'm going to be held responsible. You know, if you drive and you get lost or you hurt someone. And so she told him at that time, if you drive and I find out about it, I'm going to call the Secretary of State and turn you in.
I understood what she was saying. I could get out and get in the car right now and drive, but I wouldn't be safe.
And that was that. Rich still takes joy in traveling with Judy, supporting her the way she always supported him.
I've always enjoyed everything she's done. And when she would be committed to one of these functions or activities, I felt part of it, and I was expected to support her. And as our kids were growing up, including being a caregiver here at home with the kids, I think we're a match made in heaven.
Another one of McLean County's history makers has lived a life in health care and abroad. Jana Edge, a nurse and health educator, helped lead the first delegation of the Bloomington Normal Sister Cities Partnership with Vladimir, Russia, 30 years ago. It's still going strong today. Edge made more than 20 trips to Vladimir, but it took some cajoling just to get her to make that first voyage. The Bloomington Normal delegation called upon her to respond to Vladimir's request for humanitarian aid as the Russian economy faltered during the Cold War.
I declined because what did I know? I'm a nurse. I can write great care plans. But I had never done any international education, and I'd only been out of the country once.
On the third ask, Edge accepted and helped to round up about $500,000 in medical supplies, many of which were donated by the community.
We had grandmothers who knit sweaters for babies. We had pharmaceutical establishments who gave us medications. We had civic organizations who bought cases of formulas. We had hospitals that allowed us to make purchase with the money that was given to us to buy IV solutions.
She says some of the most appreciated items were mops and buckets with levers to wring them out to clean better. Edge coordinated with a national organization called Physicians for Social Responsibility to ship the supplies to Russia. Edge says these trips were far from vacations, but all well worth it.
I would ask you to give up 2 weeks of your time, pay for your own ticket, work 12 to 14 hours a day, and if you had fun, it was an accident. We did homestays rather than hotels. We did public transportation, but we were given the gift of learning about another culture.
Once in Russia, Edge saw deplorable conditions in many hospitals. She says the Russian government had been woefully underfunding its healthcare system for decades.
You can survive without input for a while, but then things deteriorate greatly. I mean, their hospitals had cement floors. The screen windows didn't have screens. There may be one restroom on the whole floor of the hospital.
Ed says she sought to make connection with the medical professionals in Russia, and it wasn't always easy to be sensitive in that communication.
There was forbidden words that in America we do it this way. No, we know how America does it. We're going there to learn about how they do it and how can we have common language. And medicine was a good way to do that.
She says it helped in many medical terms have Latin roots, which helped to overcome language barriers. Above all, Edge felt the disjointed Russian healthcare system needed a culture change. Cleaning staff would sometimes transport people through a hospital instead of nurses. She says nurses there were treated as second-class citizens, underpaid and disrespected. She worked to change that.
We did demonstrations. We did side-by-side. So our humanity, I think, came through rather than the stereotypes of the propaganda.
Edge says she wanted to dispel a myth in Russia that all Americans did was count money. She wanted nurses in Russia to understand the nobility of their profession, and they should have the confidence to demand better pay and working conditions.
We said, yes, it's a hard road, but you can do that. The more you learn, the more you learn to communicate, the better you learn to write, the better you learn to negotiate within the system. You can do this for yourself professionally and also for the patient.
Edge says it helped that she had witnessed a transformation in the U.S. and how nurses were treated since she got out of school in the 1950s. She said nurses then were referred to as handmaidens to physicians. Edge says she saw working conditions gradually improve for nurses in Russia in the 3 decades since that first trip to Vladimir. She says she's grateful for the chance to lay a foundation that so many others have built upon, as she borrows from Russian folklore to explain how it all came to be.
It wouldn't have been possible without all of them. But I was the Baba Yaga. I was the one that somebody had to be the leader. Somebody had to make the decision. Somebody had to call the shots. And this community rose above and beyond anything that we could ever dream.
The fourth member of this year's cohort of history makers has also seen conditions improve for him since he was raised as the son of sharecropper parents in Shreveport, Louisiana, during the Great Depression. But Henry Gay says it has not been an easy journey toward racial justice, nor one that is finished. Gay has made improving race relations one of his life goals. Once the youngest member of the Bloomington Normal NAACP, he's now its oldest at 94. Gay remembers life in the segregated South, living out on the farm, knowing it wasn't safe for someone of color to go into the city for something as simple as buying groceries.
We couldn't go to town because they didn't want us there. And whatnot. You can go somewhere somebody don't want you to be and call you all kind of names. It didn't suit me.
Gay came to Bloomington in 1945. He says conditions weren't much better.
When I first came here, Bloomington now was bad, but just by bad where I come from. Everything, we had outside plumbing. The houses was real bad. You could sit in your living room and count the stars in the roof.
Gay says conditions for many blacks and low-income families didn't start to improve until 1967 when Bloomington passed a Fair Housing Act. He helped push for the measure to force landlords to fix unlivable slum properties. Another turning point in racial relations in Bloomington Normal had come a year earlier, in 1966, when an African-American man named Merlin Kennedy, dressed as Black Santa, atop a float in the Bloomington Normal Christmas Parade. Gay recalls Kennedy's appearance was brief, but made a lasting impact.
You should see the people trying to talk to their kids. Them kids was everywhere. We was on in about 2 seconds because the police made us take the float out. But Merlin Kennedy still walked with his black suit on.
Police threatened to arrest Old St. Nick. Merlin Kennedy became a McLean County history maker in 2015. While Henry Gay says he doesn't see discrimination ending soon.
Discrimination going to be discrimination for the rest of their life. I said it was here when I was born. It's going to be here when I'm gone. A lot of people discriminate and don't realize that they discriminate.
While Gay has called out and tried to correct injustices his entire life, he says he's tried to do it in a way that fosters understanding rather than anger.
But you got to be positive. You can't be hot-headed like a lot of people. That's the problem. Nobody respects anybody. See, if people would respect people, one another, the world would be a lot better off place.
Gay says it all goes back to how he was raised, and it was how he and his wife raised six children.
Well, in 1966, I was named the meanest dad in Bloomington.
He says you have to be a good citizen, work hard, raise your family, and treat others right.
You got to teach a kid while they're young. That's the problem we got right now. All this stuff going on now, it's just ridiculous because they wasn't raised.
Gay says he's troubled by recent violence in Bloomington Normal. He says mistrust of police only perpetuates violence.
Nobody won't turn them in. How can the police can't be anywhere? I wish people would come out of their shells and tell on these people so to get them off the street because they got fooled around. And a stray bullet don't care who it hit.
Gay insists on personal responsibility, words he says he lives by every day. At age 94, he still works, driving a hearse for a Bloomington funeral home. Gay says he worries the welfare system has made it too easy for some.
Then you got people could be working, but they're not working because you can get stuff too easy. I still say you should work 2 days, at least 2 days, when you go to these food pantries. Why should you drive up there in a brand new car at a food pantry and you're not working?
For Gay, it's not about the money. He makes that clear when he explains what being named a McLean County History Maker means to him.
I think I'd turn $1 million down for this. That's how much it means. It'd be honor for the whole McLean County. Who wouldn't?
Gay says a sign of racial progress in Bloomington Normal is that the local NAACP has more white members than black. The chapter awards a college scholarship every year in Gay's honor. All of this year's history makers named by the McLean County Museum of History have made their contributions to Bloomington Normal and the way they have lived out their beliefs and passions. I'm Eric Stock.
The History Makers Gala is June 19th at the Brown Ballroom of ISU's Bone Student Center.